Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
I feel very blessed to be alive and to be standing here this morning. It is only by the grace of God that I'm here, and I'm certainly very grateful for that. I've been a part of the Compass Church family since 2010. Many of you would have journeyed with me to some extent over the last 7 years since my spinal injury. For those of you who don't know me, I hope today can be an opportunity for us to start getting to know each other. Whether you know me or not, I pray that today that you are encouraged by what God has done. In saying that, this morning is not about me. It is about our great God, and He is who I want to honor for my story. Does anybody enjoy playing sport or watching sport? Well, I think in sport today, you'll see there's a lot of protective gear that gets used. Helmets, headgear, arm guards, gloves, goggles, mouth guards. The reason behind all this equipment is to protect the body from significant impact. I think the same analogy applies in our personal lives, except that that protective gear is hidden with inside of us. We put this protective gear around our hearts to stop ourselves from being exposed, being vulnerable with others, and from being deeply hurt. This morning I'm going to be sharing a very raw personal journey with you, and I'm prepared to take off all my protective gear this morning to share a very vulnerable message about my journey. And I'd love it if you could do the same thing this morning. I think if we take that hidden protective gear off of our hearts and off of our bodies and be vulnerable with ourselves and open with God about where we're at in life, that is when He can work in the most profound way. I'll share a little bit about what life was prior to my spinal injury to give you some perspective of the journey. I grew up in a Christian home in South Africa with my parents, an older sister and two dogs. I was christened and confirmed in the local Methodist church that I attended for 26 years. I grew up believing in God and over time learning what it meant to have a relationship with God. I grew up playing lots of sports. I loved being active, being outside, playing with the dogs or in the swimming pool with a cricket bat, volleyball, or tennis racket. I became a competitive swimmer at the age of 10 and swam at a national level when I was 15. I played provincial cricket and club tennis. I enjoyed playing volleyball, water polo, tennis, hockey, and cricket for my school. So life was always very busy for me, juggling schoolwork, after-school sports, and 3 to 5 hours of swimming training a day. In my high school, I had this desire to go on a youth exchange program. I applied for Rotary Youth Exchange, which brought me to Australia 20 years ago. After my year of exchange, I knew Australia was going to be a place I called home. 9 years later, I made that a reality when I immigrated to Australia and later became a very proud Australian citizen. When I moved to Australia, I was healthy, capable, and very fit. I came here to pursue my career as a chartered accountant, continuing to volunteer and to play sport in a country that truly embraces it. I had studied for 8 years, obtained 3 degrees, and was determined to excel in my career and be successful. And that is how I thought God was going to use me. I completed my articles with KPMG. In my 4th year, I was promoted to a technical manager. My role involved reviewing financial statements, writing technical accounting opinions for complex accounting transactions, and developing and rolling out accounting training for all junior and senior staff. In 2010, I took up a job opportunity with the Australian Accounting Standards Board, with the aim to use that as a stepping stone to move into a technical directorship role at an accounting firm. At the AASB, I oversaw multiple accounting standards and headed up several project teams. I learned how to write accounting legislation and the process for having that legislation passed through Parliament. I was planning to do my PhD in not-for-profit reporting and submitted my proposal to government on the very day of my spinal surgery. Outside of work, I enjoyed playing cricket, going for a nice long bike ride, or doing a nearby triathlon or open water swim. I was always up for a new challenge, so in 2010, I took up competitive rowing. Besides working very long hours, I trained 9 times per week on and off of the water, as well as volunteering for Rotary and SIDS and Kids Victoria. I didn't know what it was like to sit down and relax. I was always on the go, always busy, always seeking something more. I didn't realize at the time that there was something missing from deep down inside. I was trying to fill the holes of my soul with busyness, work, and sport. I think we tend to seek for things of this world to fill an internal void, which cannot be filled with busyness or stuff. I was putting on all this protective armor to protect myself from being seen on the inside, because I didn't think I was good enough, worthy enough, smart enough, or beautiful enough. So I thought if I got it right on the outside, it would make me feel all right on the inside. On the outside, I had all I needed. So why did I need God? It took me a very long time to work out that all I needed was God. I was not waiting on him because I was too busy. I didn't have free time slots in my day to fit God in. I've learned a very valuable lesson from my experience, and that is God works for those who wait on him. When we work, he waits. We need to clear some space in our lives in order for God to move. He's not pushy, he's very patient, and he will wait. So being so busy, life was speeding along at a very rapid rate for me. My speedy race came to a very sudden halt in 2012 when I injured my cervical spine in a master's rowing competition. This massive mountain was put up in front of me, and I had no idea how to get around it or over it. The extent of my injury meant I required to have spinal surgery to release the trapped nerves and fix the structural damage. So a metal cage was inserted into my neck, filled with artificial bone, and the bones fused together. Unfortunately, the surgery did not go according to plan. Some nerves in my neck were damaged, which resulted in a paralyzed right vocal cord, which compromised my airway. I was unable to eat, drink, or talk. The doctors were a bit skeptical about my long-term recovery and were considering at the time inserting a pig feed into my stomach to feed me long-term. After 7 months of intense rehabilitation, my right vocal cord started moving, and with continued therapy, it returned to normal function. You see, at the time, I was so caught up in my own problems, I couldn't see that my God was already moving mountains. Because of the complications after the surgery, I didn't receive the rehabilitation I required to recover from the spinal injury. Over time, my right hand function became impaired, and the pain that I was experiencing progressively got worse. The neural pathways were rewiring in my brain, which resulted in all these symptoms. I was diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome, allodynia, and hemiplegia. As the name describes, it is complex. It normally transpires from an injury to a limb, but when that limb recovers from tissue damage or break, the brain still perceives that there's an injury with the particular limb. So the brain continues to send painful stimuli to that area to protect that particular limb from any further damage. This disease results in severe pain, swelling, skin sensitivity, sores on the skin, changes in hair and nail growth, loss of function, and excessive sweating. The brain and spinal cord react in ways that are totally unnecessary and unhelpful. The neurological impact was so severe, I lost the use of my right hand and my right foot. I wasn't able to sit up, and over time I became totally immobilized. It affected my bladder and my gastrointestinal tract, which resulted in me having to be catheterized and wear nappies. It was very noticeable that I was not well. I was either in a bed or in a wheelchair, and I needed assistance to mobilize. But a lot of my condition was not visible. The pain I lived with every single day was excruciating. At times, it felt like I was being electrocuted by the overactivity of my nervous system, and other times it felt like my bones were being crushed and broken. To have to bear such intense pain every moment of every day, I never got a break from it. It used to cause me to fatigue quickly. It impacted my sleep, so I'd only sleep for 20 minutes at a time, and in total 1 to 3 hours per night. It affected my concentration as well, so trying to read became more challenging for me. Because of the extent of the complications to my health, I was medicated with 48 prescription drugs a day. To give you some context of that, just one of those drugs was equivalent to 15 endone painkillers. I remember in March 2014, six medical specialists came around my bedside to tell me that there was no cure for my condition, that this was something that I was going to have to live with for the rest of my life, and that I was unlikely to ever be able to walk again. They said this was it. The social workers at the hospital started investigating options for nursing homes to accommodate me long term. My medical team wrote me off, so I wrote myself off. I gave up. I lost the willingness to fight. I went from somebody who was well and tough to someone who was severely psychologically fractured. I didn't know how to survive in this world with such impairment. I'd relied on myself my entire life, and now I was relying on others to be showered, dressed, toileted, lifted, pushed, and fed, which broke my human spirit. I was embarrassed and ashamed at how I turned out, and I thought I was a complete failure, something I was trying to avoid being my entire life. I gave up on all my hopes and dreams. I believed that this is what I was going to be like for the rest of my life. Do you believe in your dreams anymore? Or have you accepted situations that Jesus died to take away? I couldn't figure out how to survive with a life that would be very different to the one I anticipated or ever hoped or dreamed it would be. I couldn't comprehend spending the rest of my life in bed or wheelchair. Just take a moment to think about how you would feel being totally bedbound for 24 hours a day and not having the gift to get up. I know for me, the days and the nights became awfully long. I'm extremely grateful to my friends and Compass family who continued to come visit me during that time. But even with the constant visits, I still felt so isolated and alone. When I thought things couldn't get any worse, I was sexually assaulted several times whilst in acute care. On top of my health challenges and now trying to cope with the trauma, I had to fight through 2 years of criminal proceedings and a full trial. I felt like God had abandoned me. I questioned God, why me? Why has this happened to me? Why can't you fix me? I got really angry with God and started blaming him. I felt totally broken. In terms of my physical health, I kept turning to the doctors to fix me. Even though I knew I had a medically incurable disease, I still trusted them more than I trusted God. Even though conceptually I knew God created the very existence of these doctors and blessed them with specialized skills, I still trusted the doctors more. When I was recently thinking about this, I was reminded of a quote that says, "Man says, show me, and I will trust you. Whereas God says, trust me, and then I will show you." So in my absolute weakness, I let go of God. I thought, how could God love or care for me in my state? I was useless and helpless. I placed so much value on my skills, my achievements, and my work ethic, which were now redundant. I couldn't bear to face another day on this earth in that state. The physical pain was so intense and crippling, and emotionally I was collapsing very quickly. My sense of hopelessness was so intense, I attempted to commit suicide several times whilst in hospital. I was resuscitated twice, and at times I had to be restrained to the bed because I was so adamant on ending this torture. I'm so grateful to God because I shouldn't be here today. But God was not finished. May I say, God is not finished. He not only saved my life, he saved my soul. Although I wrote myself off, God never wrote me off. No matter what you're going through in life, God will never write you off. My faith at the time was flimsy. I trusted in my own strength rather than the strength of my God. How could I think God would change my circumstances when I doubted his ability? James 1, verses 5 to 7 says, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubt, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. I was like a wave of the sea, being tossed about and smashed onto the rocks repeatedly. I had doubted my God that created my very existence. Although I felt abandoned, God never left me." Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "He will not leave nor forsake you." Through my journey, I've realized that God is always with us, loves us more than we can even comprehend, and accepts us just as we are, irrespective of our successes and failures, our faults and flaws, the thoughts in our head, what we've done in our past, our current circumstances. We are just enough. If you think that you are last in line in life, or you feel like you're always last in line in life, God will accept you first into his kingdom if you invite him into your life. For the first time in my life, I felt stuck, and there was no possible way that I was going to get out of this in my own strength. I'd worked hard, trained hard, studied hard, and I always achieved the results I was hoping for. But in this situation, I was trying so hard, and very little was changing. I was in a very dark, deep valley, and I had no plan on how to get myself out of it. I was struggling physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Who here has faced struggle before? Well, the greatest thing about struggle is that it can be our greatest call to seeking God and having the courage to find our faith. I had no master plan for my situation, but looking back in Scripture, many followers of Jesus had no master plan, but they had the Master's plan, and that is all they needed. I knew in my heart I had to start seeking for the Lord and his plans for my life. I still didn't understand why this had happened to me, but I believed that God had a way out. I started to cry out to him in desperation, and he was right there. God could have walked away from me when I turned from him, but he never did. So I had to start looking towards the promise rather than at my own problems. And as I sought after God and with his help, I slowly pieced my little bit of faith back together. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Jesus makes it so easy for us. All we need is faith that small. That is all it takes. The size of a very mustard seed. Something so small to achieve an eternal outcome. I had to believe that my God could move this mountain in my life. I didn't know how or what that would look like, but I knew that God was not done with me and he had so much more in store for my life. So I knew I had to keep on trying. I had to start believing that my God was bigger than my circumstances. I'm a person who enjoys statistics, so I'm going to give you a few of those. I spent 872 days in hospital and 607 days in rehabilitation. I was only discharged home from hospital on the 20th of February last year and required 8 hours of care a day in order to be at home rather than in hospital or in aged care. Back in 2014, I remember trying to hold a very pair of scissors in my right hand. I spent months trying to achieve just that. Over months of therapy, I spent time cutting out pieces of Christmas wrapping paper just to be able to get the function back in my right hand. I was totally bedbound from 2014 to 2016 when I was able to take my very first step. Since 2016, I've spent about 20 hours a week in medical appointments and in rehabilitation, including physio, hydrotherapy, and occupational therapy and psychotherapy. With all that therapy input, it took me 2.5 years to merely be able to stand up and take one step. Beyond that, I needed a wheelchair to mobilize. Based on what I'd been through, it all seemed impossible. Philippians 1 verse 5 says, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion." God is not in the business of stopping halfway through. Even if we may not see it, God is completing what he started. Through this process, I've realized that you don't have to be perfect or have it all together to call on God or to accept him or for him to accept you. All you need to do is to take the next step and accept him into your heart. Soon, you'll be walking down the pathway and you'll turn around and you'll realize that you had been moving mountains with our God. On the 8th of September 2018, I received prayer right here in this very building, and God chose that day to move mountains. Christian McCudden was a guest speaker that day, and he shared a few things that really stuck with me. He said, "If you're scared of doing something, do it scared." Well, I'd been scared my entire life. Scared of being seen, scared of falling, scared of failing, scared of disappointing people, scared of doing or saying the wrong thing. My fear stopped me from stepping out in faith my entire life. That day, although scared, I chose to go up for prayer when Christian asked if there was anyone experiencing severe pain. I'm embarrassed to say this, but on the day I thought, I don't need more prayer. I've had 6.5 years of prayer. What is more prayer going to do for me? I'm still in constant pain, am immobilized, and have significant health challenges. The Compass prayer team have been praying for so long. They've been on their knees. Their knees are raw from the amount of prayers they've been saying for me. Surely God had just decided that I wasn't meant to be healed. Wow. I certainly underestimated our God. The only thing blocking me from my breakthrough was my willingness to believe that it was possible. Christian said to me when I went up, "God will heal me because it's his will for my life. God will make whole what is not. God who spoke and created heaven and earth spoke and created me. God created my spinal cord and he can fix it." Christian asked me to work against fear and he would turn to faith. He asked me to repeat after him, and I said, "In my unbelief, help me to believe." I had a real encounter with God that morning. This warmth flooded my body. It felt like I was under a warm waterfall. And as this warmth transcended down my body, the pain instantly dissipated. And that very day, I was able to get up out of a wheelchair. Today I'm still standing on my own 2 feet with no neuropathic pain and full function in my right side. And I give God all the glory for that because he miraculously healed me. I'm still building up my strength and endurance and I still get tired at times. But it seems like a tiny molehill to climb now. I'm not quite ready to run a marathon, but watch this space. I'm still trying to process that I'd been in bed and in a wheelchair for 6.5 years. Only 6 months ago, I was still reliant on a wheelchair and could only take 20 steps on crutches. And now I'm able to walk without any pain and clock up to 400 kilometres on my recent overseas holiday. To the natural mind, this was totally impossible. But now I remind myself that I can do this because I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. That day has taught me to stop focusing on the natural and start believing in the supernatural. I always thought God would have used my strength and abilities to bring him glory, but he chose to use me in my absolute weakness to prove his significance. All I can say to you is don't miss out on an opportunity for victory because you are too afraid to step out. God's plans for your future are far bigger than your fears, far bigger than your past, and far bigger than your current circumstances. What I do know now with every part of my being is that everything is possible with God. In Mark 9:23, Jesus says, "Everything is possible for one who believes." Jesus didn't say one thing or some things. He said everything. What you have attempted to overcome your whole life, God can turn around in a heartbeat. If He chose to do it for me, He most certainly can do it for you. My medical team cannot explain my miraculous recovery because scientifically, I wasn't meant to get better. My leading specialist said it was impossible for me to be walking in front of him because where I was at that point in time, to have 3 years of intense rehab wouldn't even have allowed me to be walking the way I was in front of him. My GP is amazed every time she sees me, and she keeps telling me to keep coming to church and keep praying. 2 days after my healing, I went for a 3 kilometer walk on the beach. I got to feel the soft sand between my toes, the cold splash of water on my feet, and the warm sunlight on my face. In 7 years, I'd only gone to the beach 4 times and was unable to go on the sand or splash in the water. See, going out for me previously was too physically demanding. It would flare my pain and put me in bed for days. Even coming to church was challenging for me because I couldn't sit up for long periods of time. So generally after church, I would spend the rest of my day in bed recovering. Now to think that days after my healing, I was out in my garden, picking herbs, bending over, cooking in my kitchen, cutting the lawn, sitting on the soft grass, and going for a walk down my very own street. Things I hadn't been able to do in years. 9 days after my healing, I was in Queensland. I was going for a walk down the beach, swimming in the surf, stand-up paddleboarding, snorkeling, doing walking trails, climbing trees, hanging upside down whilst tree surfing 60 metres in the air, and clocking up to over 15,000 steps a day. 98 days after my healing, I was on a plane going on an around-the-world adventure, doing all sorts of crazy fun things, and walking up to 18 kilometres a day. Since my healing, I'm now sleeping 8 to 12 hours a night. I'm titrating off all my medication, which I was told that I was going to be on for the rest of my life. I'm now down to 7 tablets a day with the aim to cease them all. My bladder has normalized, so I haven't had to catheterize since, and I'm currently undergoing rehabilitation to retrain my colon, which was medically classified as redundant. It may seem that I have achieved a lot, but quite frankly, I'm just an ordinary girl standing in front of you who was broken and who has endured that God chose to use. Thanks to God, I am still alive, I am healed, and I'm continuing to move forward because my story is far from over. I've laughed, cried, prayed, worked harder than I ever thought I could. My faith was challenged, and as a result of it, I now walk closer with God. I share my story with you today with the hope that you are encouraged to know that no matter what faces you in life, God is already there. God is ready to move mountains for you because it is possible. You just have to believe. There were many times that I didn't believe it was possible, but I had wonderful people around me that held that belief for me. I try to be tough and hide my pain from everyone around me. But I realized that I couldn't do this journey on my own. We can't do life alone. And that is what's so great about our God and our Compass family, because we do life together and in the process influence and change lives like mine. I recall when Sean Trinder, a member of Compass who currently lives in Indonesia, I didn't really know this man at the time, but he used to come in every single week to visit me in hospital with his Bible. I didn't understand why the stranger was coming in to see me. I was useless and helpless. Why was he investing time in me? He used to pray and believe every week that I would be miraculously healed. The Compass prayer team continued to pray for me and continued to believe, even though I was diagnosed with a chronic illness that was medically incurable. Many individuals, families, and friends in this church, and some who are visiting today, have endured praying for me in the midst of my hopelessness. Even people who had never met me before were praying for me. So today I thank you for persevering and praying for me, and those who continue to come and visit me regularly during the most challenging part of my life. You gave me a purpose during a time when I didn't think life was worth living. I'm so grateful for your faithfulness during a time when my faith was flattened by my own disbelief. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." My request to you today is don't underestimate the power of prayer. Your prayers may be someone else's miracle waiting to happen. My request to everyone I share my story with is to have the courage to persevere and keep praying, no matter what faces you in life. Because I believe when a brave person steps out in faith and calls on God to move mountains against all the odds on this earth, the spines of others are stiffened, their faith challenged, and their hearts encouraged. Remember that your potential is equal to God's power. I had spent 7 years trying to climb my own mountain and not getting awfully far, and in split seconds, God chose to move that mountain. I can't promise you that life is going to be easy, but I can reassure you that if you walk with Him and look at Him and expect help from Him, He will never fail you. There may be some sins of which you cannot speak or even bear to face, but may I remind you that there is no sin of which the blood of Christ cannot wash away. When God decides to work in your life, consider it done. God hasn't brought you and me this far for us only to come this far. He is a God that moves mountains, and He is ready to move some mountains in your life today.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.